Morning comes from Genesis 32, the verses 22 to 32, and that is on page 35 in your pew Bibles. Genesis 32, verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and the men wrestled with him till daybreak. When the men saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the men. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. This is the word of the Lord. You just got to have faith. Those are probably words that you've heard several times at different occasions in your life. Maybe are words that you have spoken yourself. You just got to have faith. Sometimes they are spoken by way of encouragement, but other times they are stated in defiance by someone who refuses to give up on hope. You just got to have faith. Often this phrase comes around when the going gets rough, when the future does not look bright, hopeful, not open. It echoes in the isolated space of a hospital room when there are health concerns and ongoing uncertainty about a prognosis, or maybe around the dinner table when there are family issues, an adult child that has not come home in years, or a grandchild that is wandering, or when confronted with unemployment or a challenging political situation. When faced with circumstances you do not seem to have power or control over to change, your well-being, your sense of safety, your outlook on life does not leave untouched. Now, to make it through, to get to the other side of that what is challenging or painful, it appears to be sound advice to hold on to. You just got to have faith. But not seldom that advice implies, do not complain, don't doubt. You just have to trust God and what He is doing, and all will be okay. Surrender to His will and to what is happening. And then that's the end of the conversation. There's no room to address the hard questions, for the pain experienced, for the struggle. Moreover, the struggling with God might even be perceived as an act of disobedience. Now, we can use the phrase, "I just got to have faith," as a bold, confident statement to perk ourselves up. But yet it can also serve as an easy way out, as a mask to cover up or to hide what is actually going on within our souls. The unrest, the anxiety, the fear, doubt, the questioning. Now, if that is the case, then there is a disconnect in trying to work the challenges out with God and to invite Him into our darkness. Not too many people want to dwell with the shadows in their own hearts. Now, you may also have met these people who, despite the incredible, uncertain, and maybe even life-threatening situation they find themselves in, radiate a profound sense of peace and a deep trust in God, their Maker. Somehow their soul seems to be protected from deep anxiety or depression, and their minds from troubling thoughts. Those are things that you would expect given the circumstances. Now, when you meet someone like that, you won't forget him or her easily. They leave a lasting impression. Now, they have received a true gift from God, and that is often also how they will talk about it. Not seldom has that peace and inner trust been given after a dark night. And this is a state of being, and that state of being of having faith and trust, that is not something we can attain on our own, and we certainly cannot demand that from one another. Now, this morning we read the story of Jacob, who chooses to be by himself in the middle of the night. It is the night before he will encounter his brother Esau. Did he seek the solitude to search his soul? Or was it an act of cowardice? We don't know. But what we do know is that he wrestled with someone in the night till the dawn. And so we will see that this story shows a different way of engaging with God, with being faithful in the wrestling. And one of the questions that I would like to raise is also, do we allow in our own faith journey for this wrestling with God? Now, some context to this story. Jacob is on his way to his country of origin, and he is traveling in a large procession. He's taking with him his family, his slaves, and his flocks, and all his belongings that he has gathered in a period of 20 years while he was staying with his uncle Laban. The blessing that Jacob had received from his father upon fleeing his parents' house to find safety with his uncle Laban had been partially fulfilled. It is in Genesis 28 that we read this blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham. Now, while Jacob was still living with his uncle Laban, the Lord had called him, saying, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." So now, in obedience to God, Jacob is embarking on his journey home. However, Jacob is not anticipating a warm welcome. On the contrary, he dreads to see his brother Esau again, because Esau might still be filled with hatred and anger towards Jacob. Jacob, his own brother who had tricked him and had received the blessing from their father Isaac that was actually meant for the oldest brother, for Esau. Esau had wanted to kill him. So now, 20 years later, how would Esau respond to his return? So Jacob sends messengers. But these messengers, they come back with the message that Esau is actually coming Jacob's way, accompanied by 400 men, so not a small crew. And Jacob is terrified. He attempts to appease his brother by sending gifts and words of submission. He actually hides himself behind his possessions. And all that, despite God's hopeful promise, the partial fulfillment of his blessing, and also the incredible manifestations of God's presence, Because a little bit earlier in chapter 32, we read that God's angels meet Jacob on his way. So Jacob, with all those moments of affirmation of God's promise to be with him, is still overtaken by anxiety. So faith and unbelief, trust and anxiety, they are often so close together. So we find Jacob at the stream of the Jabbok in the middle of the night, all by himself. Now the root of that word Jabbok in Hebrew means struggle. In the Jewish tradition, names of places and of people contain a deeper meaning. And it's not accidentally that this is where Jacob finds himself wrestling with a man. Because he is about to cross the divide of water that is separating him from his brother, and that is also dividing the future from the past. It is a stream that is separating him from the land that God called him to return to, the land of promise. And he has to go through this. He cannot go back out of fear of his brother. So it is at this border crossing that is not only marked by the river, but also by the day and night, or by the night and day, that the measuring of powers is taking place. Now, who is it that Jacob is wrestling with, that is disturbing his quiet alone? Well, actually, the story does not reveal it. So could it be Esau who is taking revenge? Or is Jacob wrestling with himself? Is he battling his shadow sides? Is he being haunted by guilt for what he has done in the past? Or would this anonymous figure be an angel? The story leaves it blank. Now, the Dutch theologian Ruurd Ganzenvoort explains that that is exactly the crux of the story. There is no clarification as to who this figure is. And that is also what this story wants to tell. Often you don't know with who or what you're fighting. You're trying to understand what is happening to you comes from God, the devil, or something within yourself, or from someone else. As one colleague noted, often that is one knot, all tied up together. It is not easy to unravel that. Now, the wrestling does not end with defeat for one or the other. Even though the story tells that Jacob is stronger than his opponent, who cripples Jacob by touching his hip, Jacob holds his grip. So then the man asks Jacob to let him go, since the dawn is breaking. But Jacob insists that the man blesses him. "I will not let you go unless you bless me." A Dutch pastor, Jan de Wolf, he reformulates it as follows: "You must struggle till you can say, 'I will not let you go until this what is challenging me turns into a blessing.'" The man is, however, not easy on Jacob. He asks him, "What is your name?" And that is a crucial moment in the story and in the life of Jacob. Because that is a question that was asked of Jacob once before, 20 years ago, by a blind father who Jacob then deceived to obtain a blessing. So you can just imagine that the angels who were there at that time 20 years ago are holding their breath now. What will Jacob respond? And then his answer is, "Jacob." And that is no less than a confession, because Jacob means deceiver. Jacob's life was marked by deceit. "I am a deceiver," says Jacob. And with that, he is not walking away from his past. He brings it out in the open at the breaking of the dawn. Vulnerable. He does not hide himself. And so the words that follow then from this stranger, we have to read that as an absolution. "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." He is no longer the deceiver, but the one who struggles with God. And that is how God is. He does not remember the sins of your youth. You receive a new name. We may start anew. We may see our life in a different light, in the light of the dawn. And as Christians, we are reminded of the Easter morning. Because in Christ, the old has gone and the new has come. A new creation. It is through him that we are a forgiven people. It's the sacrament of baptism that signifies that our sins are put to death so that we may rise with Christ. So Jacob is baptized as Israel. And as Israel, he receives the blessing. And then Jacob poses the question, who are you? But the man who blesses him does not want to reveal his identity. And that leaves room for the ambiguity that we may experience when wrestling with ourselves, with life, with others, with God. However, it is Jacob himself who identifies the stranger as God. And he calls the place of this nightly encounter Peniel, which means the face of God. He saw God face to face, and his life was spared. Now, there may be times in our lives that we may experience something like this, when we're looking back on a tragic, a dark period in our life in which we struggled, of which we afterwards say that we struggled with God. And we might have come out of it injured, but also blessed, identifying goodness that has been received through it. And now that is not something we can decide for one another, and we cannot say it to one another. It is something that a person can only discover for oneself, like Jacob did at the breaking of the dawn. So a new day starts for Jacob, the beginning of a new future. As Israel, he enters into the country of his birth, on his way to be reconciled with his brother. And that did not come without a struggle and without injury, because Jacob is limping. Every step that he takes into the future will remind him of the struggle, but also of the blessing that he received. He knows that without the wrestling and the blessing, he would still have been the deceiver. And he carries his lasting injury as a symbol of his dependence on God. Maybe you also carry marks of a similar kind of wrestling. Has your journey through life not left you without injury? In our community of faith, we can identify in this space symbols that remind us of our own dependence on God. As a familiar hymn goes, here are symbols to remind us of our lifelong need of grace. The table, the font, the pulpit, the cross has central place. Those are symbols that speak to our brokenness, our weakness as people. And at the same time, they remind us of the blessing we have received in Christ to be reconciled children of God. As Jacob was brought into a place of revealing himself, of showing his true identity, so we are invited to be vulnerable in the challenges we face in relation to ourselves, the other, to God. When the going gets rough, a phrase like, you just got to have faith, can also mean, do not give up. Do not stop wrestling, but be patient in your afflictions, to speak with the words of the Apostle Paul, and persist. We live with the reality that we cannot always locate God when the darkness closes in. However, when we persist to approach God and even wrestle with God, we may rest assured that he shows himself to be faithful that He is with us. For in Christ He has shown that death does not have the final word, but life. To this God be all the glory. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank You for the gift of Your word, for making Yourself known as a God who shows Himself faithful to Your servant Jacob, and as to Jacob, likewise to us, Your children, through Jesus Christ, even when we are caught in our anxieties and fears and lose sight of the promises that You have made. We pray, give that we always seek You when life gets tough, when our vision is not clear, and we do not know with who or what we are fighting. We pray, give that we do not try to hide ourselves, masking our weakness behind words of piety, but come to You in all honesty and vulnerability. May we grow deeper in our trust in You, and live in ways that honor You above all, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.